Jesus to be saved. Now, just because you profess it doesn't mean it's true, but you profess to be saved. So if you're saved, you're either spiritual or you're carnal. If you're carnal, anything you do goes up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord is not the least bit pleased. You may be pleased with it, and you may think others should be pleased with it, but God's not pleased with it. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the only one that counts.
Amen.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little bit of review. We okay, Pete? Thanks, brother. And then I'll pick up where I left off. So let's stand together. 1 Corinthians 2, and I'll start in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 12. Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Did you ever wonder why some people say they're saved and they have a smack of the world on them?
Yeah.
It's because they've got the spirit of the world.
Amen.
And it's on purpose.
Amen.
We do what we do on purpose.
Amen.
Now, we have not received, I'm sorry, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Lord, I sure love you. Ask for your help now as we preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. And then I'm not going to show you all the verses that we looked at about spiritual, but go with me to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. You ever wonder why some saved people, they're so grumpy, they're so miserable, they're so angry, they're so unhappy? Because they're carnal. Now, I didn't say you weren't saved, but you're carnal. I don't know about you, but that's a miserable way to be. And so he says in chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You all know what enmity means. You're at opposite ends of the spectrum. You are not going to convince God carnal is good. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Do you know why you don't make good church members? Because you're carnal. You don't make good church members and you're carnal and you're not submitted. So you don't want to follow God's man, you don't want to follow God's book, and you don't want to get in your place and be assembled together with the rest of the people like you're supposed to be. That's not the pastor's fault. That's not the other church member's fault. That's your fault. You're carnal. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? It's impossible. It's just absolutely impossible. So I think it's vitally, what I have found in my personal life, it's vitally important to be spiritual. And it's a constant battle. You know, I'm going to chase a rabbit here, okay? It is wrong for you adults to expect different levels from the young people of this church, the children of this church. I have grown children that are not in church today. And it's because of problems in the church with people in the church treating my kids differently than they treated other kids and expecting my kids to maintain a certain level. Do you know what I know about every kid in this room? They've got a wicked, deceitful heart. For you to expect Lori's kids to do better than these kids or these kids to do better than those kids, you are wrong. You're wicked. You're going to be used as an instrument of the devil to get somebody out of church. Well, I'm just shocked kids live that way. I'm shocked when they do right. I got adults in here that are full of the flesh, and you're going to get on a kid for being full of the flesh? I got adults in here that have been carrying grudges for years, won't talk to this person, and you're going to get mad at a kid? You hypocrite. See, you're so in love with the flesh, you think it's right. No, it's not right, guys. And so lots of folks have got real confused about what's spiritual. Like you think going to church makes you spiritual. You're not spiritual because you go to church. Now, if you're spiritual, you'll go to church. I carry my Bible. That doesn't make you spiritual. I dress right. That doesn't make you spiritual. The Amish dress way more modestly than a lot of independent Baptist women. That doesn't make them spiritual. Amen. Passing out tracts, witnessing, music. None of that stuff makes you spiritual. Amen. You got to die. Salvation is a whole lot more than getting your ticket punched to go to heaven and then live any way you want to live. No. You know and I know. Go with me to Mark chapter 8, if you would. Mark chapter 8. You know and I know lots of lost people don't get saved because they know their life is going to change. What they don't know is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They don't know that the Holy Ghost moves in. He changes everything. Amen. Guys, before I got saved, I hated going to church. I went to church because my father made me go to church. I hated church. As soon as I went to college, the first thing I did not do that I had to do was get a haircut and go to church. He said, why? Because I was a rebel. But I tell you, I got saved on a Thursday. I was in church on Friday. And I've been in church ever since. And not because I have to. I love it. Amen. Pastor Matt, that's not an act when he gets up here and says, boy, isn't it good to be in church? Some of you are here. No, it's real for some of us. Amen. We really like it. Amen. We don't look for an excuse to stay home. We look for an excuse to go to church. Amen. And so Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. Now, those of you with red letter editions, this is red, right? Amen. Okay, so these are Jesus' words. Now listen to me. This isn't Baptist doctrine. This is the Word of God. This is God's qualifications if you're going to follow the Lord. You can't cross that. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So what I started last week is I have a three-part series on instruments of spirituality. I want to be spiritual. I think God has put these instruments in the Bible to help me to be spiritual. The first instrument is the cross. And I only got halfway through the cross, so I'm going to finish the cross this morning, good Lord willing. The cross is a way of life. The term that's thrown around is Sunday Christian. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's not a Christian. That's not spiritual. The cross is a way of life. It's an instrument of death. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians said, I die daily. In the book of Galatians, he said, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Galatians there, that was the second or third verse I ever memorized as a Christian. It helped me. It's an instrument of death. We will look at the yoke, double yoke. It's a walk with the Lord, an instrument of delight. Then we're going to look at the third instrument. It's a towel and basin. It's a willingness to love. So by way of review, the cross is an instrument of death. You have no cross that you pick up daily and bear. You are not following the Lord. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care none of that. According to the Bible says in Matthew 10, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I can't bear Pastor Matt's cross. Pastor Matt can't bear my cross. I can't bear Mrs. Keenan's cross, and she can't bear my cross. Are we okay about that? Each of us have our own cross that we must pick up and follow after him. Mark 8, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The Christian life is a cross-bearing life. No cross, you're not following the Lord. Doesn't matter anything else about how much money you give, your standards, anything like that. If you don't carry your cross, you're not, and it's your cross. It's not somebody else's cross. Last time I preached, I said, what is a cross? Which is a good question. Let's start, and I started with the Lord's cross. What we saw, and I'm not going to go through all the scripture, but we saw that the cross was obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. It was offensive. You and I living for God, it offends people. Ephesians chapter 2, there's reconciliation by the cross. We're in the ministry of reconciliation. Our life should speak something that others see something that they want. Hebrews, there's endurance. He endured the cross. Colossians, the cross is a place of peace and forgiveness. Colossians chapter 1, there's power. It made peace through the blood of the cross. In Philippians, there's the enemies of the cross. Christianity without a cross is a mechanical religious life. It's not a walk with the Lord. The big difference between our Lord and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day, that our Lord did something to save someone. Why do we put money in the plate? Just so we can get a report that somebody gets saved. Right? Why do we pass gospel tracts? Why do we knock on doors? Why do we try to be a personal win? To see somebody get saved. That's not, guys, when I got saved, the first thing I thought about is my family, my friends, my relatives that were going to hell. And I wanted to tell them about it. When people say they get saved and never want to talk to anybody about the Lord, I question whether they really got salvation. We saw that woman in Mark chapter 14 that broke that alabaster box. And what was she commended for? She was commended because she did what she could. That's what, guys, the Lord doesn't want you to walk on water. He wants you to do what you can do, filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We learn from the Lord. The Lord took up his cross. He's our example. We all have crosses to bear. I said this, I can't and I will not tell you what your cross is. But I will show you from the Bible what a cross is. Number one, I showed you a cross is voluntary. Our Lord did not go to the cross as a victim. The Lord did not go to the cross because he had to. He voluntarily went. He said in John 10, I lay down my life for the sheep. Because I lay down my life, I lay it down of myself. No one, you can't talk anyone into bearing a cross. It has to be voluntary. He gave himself for us. Why? Because he loved us. We should give ourselves to the Lord. Why? Because we love him. That song the girls sang, I love that song. I want that to be true of me. That I don't want anybody, and I don't want to love anybody or anything more than I love Jesus Christ. I mean that. So the cross is voluntary. So I mentioned it can't be a sickness. Can't be a disease. Can't be sorrow. That's not voluntary. If you have to be beaten, pushed, cajoled into picking up your cross, it's really of no value to the Lord. We ought to do for God voluntarily because we love him. The second thing I said about a cross, besides being voluntary, is that a cross is for somebody else. A cross is for somebody else. Romans says it this way. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I don't doubt that Caleb has had some growth in his Christian life because he has studied and taught Sunday school for the last year and a half. But he's not just teaching Sunday school for himself. He's teaching it for us. Your life should be lived for others, irregardless of if they say thank you, appreciate it. Romans 5 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We okay? It's for somebody else. The third thing I said about the cross was that it's victorious. Let me ask you something. If you win, what are you? Huh? Yes. See, y'all trying to think too spiritual for me. If I beat my wife at a game of Scrabble, I am happy. Victory is joyful. We got some of the grumpiest people in the world who say they're saved and there's no joy in their life. You know, the attitude, bless me if you can. Well, I already can't, so I'm not going to try. How's that? When I was younger, I would try. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You know, while I've been going and getting all these physical tests, you know, for all these different body parts of mine, they asked me if I wanted my patience tested. So I got my patience tested. I'm negative. Wow. Yeah, you didn't need to know that, did you? Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Hebrews 1, verse number 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Guys, the cross is victorious, and because we're victorious, we should win. Hey, I know winter's coming. I'm not a big fan of winter, but I am sure glad I don't live in Buffalo. There's some places, Pete, in Buffalo, they got 6 feet of snow. 6 feet. That's over my head. If you can drown in snow, I would drown. And, you know, it got a little chilly here. Well, what'd they do? I'm in Hebrews 12. Look at verse number 2 with me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you, I know the Lord is very happy the day that I got saved. He's happy that he could save me.
Amen.
And so what did he do? He endured being made sin. That was not a pleasant experience for the Son of God, the holy Son of God, a thrice holy God. But he endured it. Why? For the joy that was set before him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The cross is victorious. The cross is a place of triumph and victory and joy. Babe, that night I banged on your door, and I know it was pushing 10:30, and I told you that I got saved. Could you not see the excitement on me? And I didn't know anything. I just knew that I was going to hell. Now I was going to heaven, and I wanted her to get saved so she wouldn't go to hell. Well, why do we lose that? Because you're carnal. The carnal man says, I deserve better than this. The spiritual man says, I ought to be in hell. I'm sure glad I'm going to heaven. Are you with me? This thing about being spiritual is pretty important with the Lord. It should be important with us. Look at me. Everybody in this room in the last 24 hours, you sinned. Some of you are gone 24 hours.
Wow.
Look at me. You sinned.
Amen.
And you justify it.
Yes,
and some of you can carry it for days. You got no prayer life. You got no walk in the Holy Ghost. You got no fruit in your life. I've been around the block. I can come. I know when you're not right with God. You're fakers. So you say, what do you do? Keep short accounts. You get, people say, well, you know, I'll just wait till I have my devotions tomorrow. I wouldn't wait that long. I get right now. Right now. You know, you have a tiff with your wife or your husband or your kids or something like that. Don't let it drag out. Apologize. Tell the Lord you're sorry. And ask for some grace. 1 Corinthians 15, let's pick up in verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty exciting right there.
Amen.
So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, considering all that he just said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As long as it's not in the flesh. You know what some people would tell you? You're living a wasted life. I know Pastor Matt has been told he's wasting his life. That's not true. You guys are going to get out there in the workforce. You're going to come up to some ambitious people. They're going to tell you you're wasting your life. That's not true. No, they don't look far enough down the road. They have no faith because your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. You ever pass out track and never know what happened to it? We've done that a bunch of times. What about people that got saved because they got your track? And you don't even know it. But one day in heaven, you'll know it. Your labor is not in vain. The cross is a place of triumph and victory and joy and achievement. It's willingly. It's laboring for others. I mentioned to you that old lady that I had the privilege to pastor, Lil. Lil, you know, she probably wasn't all there, but buddy, that woman had the joy of the Lord. And she just always bragged about being saved, going to heaven, getting to see the Lord, and how much she loved the Lord. She had joy. I'd say that's a whole lot better than some miserable people. The cross at times is painful. It's difficult, but it's victorious. I can do all things. There's no grumbling. Did you hear the Lord grumble any? Don't tell me that you're spiritual and grumble and complain. Nothing's good enough. Nothing's right enough. Nothing's this enough. That is not spiritual. That's carnal. It's victorious. Now, this is where I left off. So my fourth point is the cross was for an approved sacrifice. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. An approved sacrifice. Hebrews chapter number 7. Guys, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but if I went to the cross and I died for you, you wouldn't get to heaven. You would. If Mother Teresa went to the cross and died for you, you still couldn't get to heaven. If Buddha, Mohammed, are you listening to me? It was for an approved sacrifice. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Bible says, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Go to chapter 9 in Hebrews, verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Chapter 9, verse 14. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know how in the Old Testament they could just bring any old lamb, couldn't they? No. Had to be without spot. Had to be without blemish. You know what had to be? Had to be approved. Would you go with me to Malachi? Malachi chapter number 1. I think there's a lot of folks who name the name of Christ or they're guilty of what the Jews did in the Old Testament, bringing these damaged and soiled offerings. My Lord was a sacrifice for me. He was the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, that taketh away the sin of the world. It was his precious blood that washed away my sins. I'm in Malachi 1. Look at verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? The cross is for an approved sacrifice. You don't get to make the approval in your life. The Lord makes the approval. First Peter says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how our Lord was. Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. You all know that, so go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans says, by the mercies of the Lord, that ye present your bodies, what? What's the next word? So if you're going to present yourself and you're going to pick up your cross, what do you got to be? You got to be holy. And not by your approval. By God's approval. See, a cross is for an approved sacrifice. Jesus said what? I do always those things that please the Father. You know what most saved people do? Always those things that please themselves. Yeah. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's pick up in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Boy, that's a lot of following after right there, isn't it? We read through it real quick. Sometimes we need to meditate on those words. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without, what? Is that what he was, without spot? Are we supposed to keep this commandment without spot? Unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over there in Ephesians, the Bible says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? If you want to pick up that cross, then you should be approved of God to pick up that cross. And the way you're approved of God is you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Not what you think is right. How many times have you said, I think this is good enough? I don't know what he's getting mad at. I think that should be okay. That's your cardinal. I understand, you know, the older I get, people were raised different ways. And I guess I just ought to thank my mom and dad, even as lost people. They had super high ideals and goals for us. And daddy would not accept anything below what he set that as. And you parents that make excuses for your kids to be sorry, disobedient, do sloppy work, somebody ought to slap you.
Amen.
These kids have so much more ability. They have so much more. What's the word I'm looking for? Potential than we have. I mean, some of us, we didn't get saved till we were later. You reap what you sow.
Amen.
These young adults, Pastor Matt didn't have the past that I have. His mind, his body, his conscience is so much cleaner than mine.
Amen.
He can retain what he reads. He can take what he studied and put it across in a manner that's easily understood. You have so much potential. Why give him excuses to be sorry? Your kids' flesh is lazy. Just like your flesh is lazy.
Amen.
It's for an approved sacrifice. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that cross is for an approved sacrifice. God's not approving you to pick up that cross if you're in the flesh. Without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, it's impossible to please God. You know, sometimes you just overhear conversations and you just wonder, where is God in some of these people's lives? Well, you know, we as a family, we're not going to do this. And we as a family, we're not going to have this. And where's the Lord in this? You're in your 20s and you're making decisions and there's no God? Timothy, you have heard my testimony ever since you've been born. And you know I was in that spa and Bob came by and told me about the Lord. But just as much as you've heard that, you've heard that I was in church on a Sunday night. And the pastor preached about having a plan, having a will for my life. And I was saved a month or 5 weeks or something. And I can remember with that long hair and that hippie garb on me that the Holy Ghost said, I've got a plan for your life. And I remember, I did not go to the altar, guys. I bowed my head there at that chair and I said, Lord, I am 22 years old and I have made a mess of my life. I said, if you want to take this life and you want to do something with it, I'm giving it to you. I had no clue how seriously the Lord was taking me. And I am telling you, that is the second smartest thing I ever did in my life. That woman and I did not decide to have 9 kids. We trusted the Lord. We did not decide to go off to Bible school. God took us to Bible school. I did not decide to be a pastor. God called me to be a pastor. What I have enjoyed, and God knows I didn't want to go to New York, but it's not about what Mike Keenan wanted. And you guys have all that conflict because you're carnal. You have not picked up that cross. You have not let that cross be an instrument of death in your life. It doesn't matter what I want. It matters what God wants. I'm here to please Him. I am His servant. Every morning I wake up, I want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what can I do for You today? When you walk in the flesh, you are not pleasing the Master. And He is not approving you for that sacrifice. Paul said he didn't do things to please man in Galatians. He did it to please God. Talks in 1 Thessalonians about walking and pleasing the Lord. Matthew chapter 10. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Do you want to be a nominal saved person? There is no such thing as a worldly Christian. If you're worldly, you're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're not worldly. Everything about our Lord, everything, He set the example of how to be an approved sacrifice. His relationship with the Father, He did always those things that pleased the Father. His response, whatever the Father wanted, it was what? Yes, Lord. I read a little comment this week. We should not put a question mark where God puts a period. We always question. I'm supposed to do this. God wants this. God wants. Why even question? His reliance on the Father. Listen, guys, I don't understand it. I'm being honest with you. But God, Jesus Christ, was as much a man as you and I, a human man, without a sinful nature. He had to rely on the Father and the power of the Holy Ghost to walk here on this earth. That's what I have to do. Every day, I need the power of God to walk in the Spirit. Every day. Every day, I need to reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. I need to yield myself on a 24-hour daily basis to the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. I need to resist the devil. I need to resist the allurements of the world. I need to resist this flesh. It is a battle every day of my life. But I want to be spiritual. I am going to get to die one time if I'm not raptured. One time. You're going to get to die one time. You're either going to die spiritual or you're going to die carnal. You want to die carnal? I don't want to die carnal. I want to die spiritual. I want to be raptured spiritual. So I want to be right with the Lord. So I need to pick up that cross every day. What was his request? He wanted to glorify the Father. It wasn't about glorifying himself. It's about glorifying the Father. The fifth thing about a cross is it's visible. It's visible. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. If I went to your workplace and I asked your co-workers about you, would they tell me that you're a born-again Christian, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've invited them out to church, that you've tried to witness to them about the Lord? Because if I couldn't, it's because you're ashamed. You're not living a very visible life. You're surely not bearing a cross visibly. You hang around kids at the public school. They know you're a born-again Christian. They know you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You invite kids to come to church, come to teen night or something like that because they're going to die and go to hell and you want them to get saved. It's got to be visible. Acts 26, Paul was preaching to Festus. He was preaching on Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. You know what he said? He said, Festus, this was not hidden. He said, Festus, this was not done in a corner. It's visible. It's done open in the public. I don't just live for the Lord here in the church house. Amen. I don't just name the name of Christ here amongst God's people. Amen. It's out there. Amen. Live for God, bear a cross. Life ought to be open. open to inspection. The cross is the will of God. Number six. I mentioned to you that the cross is a way of life. It's the instrument of death. Matthew 8, verse number 34, which was my first text that I took you to. Or Matthew 8, verse 34. And behold, the whole... I said Matthew. I meant Mark. I'm sorry. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I ask a question. Is that the will of God? That's the will of God. It's a way of life. It's an instrument of death. You know what I think we are sometimes? We're too concerned about this life. And not as concerned about the next life like we ought to be. You're going to be there a whole lot longer than you're going to be here. You know why you should be living? You should be living to benefit others. Not to benefit yourself. Benefit others. Joy. Remember the old alliteration? Jesus, others, you. Take up your cross. So I ask you this question. Do you take up your cross every day? I ask you this question. Are you spiritual or are you carnal? Guys, those are not loaded questions. And I'm surely not trying to embarrass anybody. But when you stand before the Lord, is he going to know if you were carnal or spiritual? Is he going to know if your heart was right with others and with him? And if it's not right with others, it can't be right with him. I want to die. You know who's gotten me, AJ, you know who's gotten me in more trouble in my life? I'll be 70 in January. You know who's gotten me in more trouble than anybody? Not the devil. Not my friends. Me. That flesh. Amen. That stinking, rotten old man. Amen. He's pretty influential. Amen. He's got a strong pull on us. How old were you when you got saved? You were 27. You know what the flesh had for 27 years? His way. That's why you guys with babies, don't let these babies have their way for X number of months, years. Buddy, that kid pitches a fit. What? His bottom. And then he'll just really set off the sirens. Oh, some of you go, are those kids spiritual? Heavens, no. Just cross them. Kid get mad, spit and fume. Who's in charge? Steph, I used to use this, and I probably got it from Brother Hank. But every time you have a confrontation with a child, there is a winner and there is a loser. And you let that kid, I don't care how young it is, I don't care how old it is, you let that kid get its way, it's a winner and you're the loser. Flesh. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Trouble that I've got in is my flesh. You parents need to have some discernment about you. Your kids are not spiritual. Excuses, lies, blaming others, that's carnal. Why do you even put up with that? Help them. And surely, don't expect more of some young people than you would expect of yourself. Amen. Some of you are so judgmental on these younger people. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Follow him. It's an instrument. God left it there for us so we could be spiritual. I want to be spiritual. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. If I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I will bear the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. That's why I forgot that. Sometimes I'm not as gentle as I would be. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. I get bumped up because my flesh, meek. Meek is not easily provoked. Oh, I know, most of you all are real meek. Just cross your flesh, buddy. I mean, it's a 4th of July fireworks. Against such there is no law. What could God do in our church in reaching this area and the world if we all got spiritual? Instead of making excuses and staying carnal. Let's pray. You all mind the Lord this morning.